welcome to Working Together with Kelly Elkins. I'm your host, Kelly Elkins, your Chief Operating Officer for Maine Health. In this new podcast series, I will be joined each episode by guests who are participating on teams focused on how we can further support and enhance how we work together across Maine Health so that we can achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. In particular, we will highlight work we are doing in further development of our operating model for Maine Health and how we are creating structure and processes that make it easier for you to do your work. Today's episode is titled The Silent Threat. By now, you have heard the headlines about major corporations and organizations essentially shut down or crippled by cyber attacks. The healthcare industry and others felt the residual impact of a cyber attack last year when Kronos, a leading payroll system, was attacked. This attack alone had a direct impact on our organization, costing significant dollars, resource time, and frustration for our care team members. How do these attacks happen, and what can be done to prevent this silent threat from impacting us at Maine Health? In today's episode, we're going to dive into the topic of cybersecurity and the work happening behind the scenes at Maine Health to protect our organization. To join me in the conversation today is my guest, Andy Seward, Chief Information Security Officer for Maine Health. Welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Excellent. So, Andy, before we begin and get a little more deep into helping educate us and raise awareness just around cybersecurity in general, can you explain a little bit more about your role and why it is important to have a structure around cybersecurity for our organization?
Yeah, happy to. Cybersecurity has been a growing feature of our IT platforms, our technology. Someone needs to organize it. Mm-hmm. So the CISO or CISO's job is to build a program that protects our data, protects our technologies, and looks at what the emerging threats and the vulnerabilities that we have, and then arrange the tools and the people to be able to counter that threat, to protect our data, to protect our patients.
So, really important job.
Oh, it's actually one of the few truly existential threats that healthcare has these days.
Yeah.
We've seen some particularly sad examples of that with peer systems of healthcare
right. Out
there. But yes, it is an important job and it's an exciting job.
Great. So Andy, let's go very basic for a moment. What is cybersecurity?
Cybersecurity is the protection of all of our data and our IT. These days in healthcare, we've seen over the last many decades now, the emergence of a better ability to serve our patients, mm-hmm. to take care of them in some really wonderful and unique ways. And that's because of technology.
Right.
With the technology, though, and with the arrival of the internet, what's happened is that a number of different vulnerabilities and risks have come up. There are unfortunately some folks who want to take advantage of that. As we know, knowledge is power. Knowledge is also, and data, is worth money.
Mm-hmm.
And so stealing patient data became a thing
really
about 15 years ago. And since that time, what we've been doing is building an array of defenses that allow us to identify the threats as they emerge, detect them if they happen, and then also throw a shield over our entire Maine Health system and protect it. And then if anything does happen, if the bad guys do get a foothold or they're knocking more at the door, and we're able to make sure that we're able to respond to that and ultimately that we've got the planning and the readiness to be able to recover from that. All of those things really constitute the security program we've built here at Maine Health.
Great. So you mentioned risk, right? And as healthcare, because we use technology for almost everything.
We do.
Not just the EHR, not just a register, but in how we deliver care, right? So could you dive a little deeper into what are our risks as a health system, or what might be presenting a risk to us in terms of technology and equipment used in people's daily work that they may not even realize poses a cybersecurity risk?
Great question. The risks are multifold. Mm-hmm. The first one that's I think as everybody knows about is phishing. It is a a way for hackers to be able and scammers to be able to reach into our emails, into our texts, into even voicemails, and attempt to provoke a reaction from us, right, and then also to get us to respond and allow them into our trusted network environment, our trusted IT environment, where our technology is for our patients. So phishing is one big vector. Another one is, we, with all this wonderful clinical technology, we have to be very careful with our third-party vendors who bring all this fantastic technology to us. Of course, they want to reach in and be able to patch and update these systems. And if they get hacked, then they already have sort of a direct line into MaineHealth, and we have to protect against that as well. Those are probably the two main ones that are on the table at the moment.
Yeah. So I will self-disclose that when I first joined MaineHealth, I'd only been here a few weeks, and I, very, very ashamed of this, fell a little victim to a phishing attempt. I got this email from Andrew Mueller asking me to call him urgently, right? Do him a favor. And I responded a few times, never heard back from him. I run into him later in the hall, and I'm like, you sent me this urgent email. I replied, you know, I said, hey, I'll do whatever you need me to do. And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Right. And then my friend Dan Nygren, you know, chief information officer for MaineHealth, who you work within his team, said, Kelly, that was a bad email. and I can't believe you replied to that. And thankfully, right, I didn't provide any information, but it's very easy, right? Because I think those folks who are doing the phishing and scamming have gotten very sophisticated in how they, what the content they put in there, how they make it relatable, so that it can trick folks who are very well-meaning into kind of falling for their kind of lure in.
Absolutely right. And you're not alone. You are absolutely not alone. In fact, we do this as an awareness campaign. You know, we train on everything in healthcare. We train on hygiene. We train on medical procedures for the Joint Commission. We train on everything. So in addition, since this is such a threat and a vector of that threat, we train on phishes. Yeah. Every month we send out 10 unique phishes across all of our users who have accounts here at MaineHealth to their emails. Hopefully they're reporting them. There's a button up at the top of the screen that says report suspicious. Mm-hmm. And if they click that, we really appreciate it. And the reason why we appreciate that is because it helps us know that people are able to identify it and correctly report it. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. But even if it's something that you think, oh, it's probably just one of those test emails, they're testing me again, right? Maybe it's not.
Right.
Maybe it's real.
Yeah.
So please do use that little button, and instead of just deleting, if you can do that, that's number one. And then number two is we're ramping up the difficulty level on these phishes over time.
Yeah.
We started very simple, and now we're actually ratcheting it up and making it tougher and a little more tricky. Why? The ones that we use are largely based on actual scam emails in the wild out there. So they're quite realistic. And what do they try to make you do? As you said, they try and make you jump. Right. They try and upset you. They're designed to elicit a reaction, and it's a reaction that helps them, not MaineHealth.
Right.
And the most clever ones these days, and you may see this, by the way, everything I'm saying here is true for your home, not just for here at work.
Right.
So for your family and so on. But these phishing emails used to be able to be stopped because we could see a link or we could see a document. And they wanted you to click on those, right?
Sure.
Now, the most clever ones are actually just sending something that's really juicy and interesting, and they want you to respond. If you respond, you're teaching our protective systems that you thought that was okay. And so the second time when they come back to you, it has a higher reputational value in the system.
Interesting.
And if they can get just enough reputational value, then they'll get you to do something. Or they'll just try and socially engineer you or a member of your family to unfortunately send the money, buy some gift cards,
right,
or whatever they're trying to scam you with.
Wow.
Terrible folks. Very clever.
Very clever. Fooled me, obviously. I've learned the phishing exercises we've done here is, I think, made me too suspicious. And I often find I report emails that really aren't phishes. They're legitimate. But I think you can never be too cautious in this space.
And maybe just for a moment, so, you know, you talked a little bit about our technology. Maybe could you give an example of how someone might attack what might seem like a very, you know, standard piece of equipment to get into our system to activate data?
Sure. So we have most attacks that are most dangerous and the most prevalent are the ones that come from outside. Truly, though, the ones that I worry about the most are the ones from inside. Like mm-hmm. if someone wants to walk into one of our hospitals, one of our clinics, and then try and jack into the wall or get into the guest network and then try to work from inside out.
Yeah.
That's highly dangerous. Now, that's less likely. Mm-hmm. The typical hack comes in, and what it's trying to do is either get to you through one of these phishing emails, or there is someone like a third-party vendor who has a relationship with us, and they've compromised that person through, let's say, a phishing email or something, and they now have their, we call them credentials, your username and password, right? If we're not very careful about how those connections are made, then that can cause a problem. Yeah. Could I just add that that's one of the reasons why, and this was big under COVID, we sent a lot of people home and they come in remotely. They use either an RSA token or now they're using the new Microsoft Authenticator system to be able to use multi-factor authentication. And that the reason why you do that is because somebody over in Russia or in Sweden or Vietnam or wherever they are, the hacker, the scammer, they're not going to have that.
Right.
So they may be able to get your username, they may be able to get your password, but they can't get that. If they don't have that, then they can't get in. So that's helpful. Yeah, that's where we are at the moment.
Great. So that kind of segues into my next question, which is around what are we doing to protect ourselves? So you mentioned the tokens, right? The Microsoft Authenticator product. But what else are we doing to protect ourselves from these type of attacks?
Right. Well, we try and do a couple different things. There's both our users themselves and things that they can do, and I'd like to concentrate a little bit on that first. Please protect the passwords. Your password and your username are you on the system. And if you're working from the inside and you're not having to use that multi-factor authentication, you know, the RSA token or the Microsoft, then all I need is your username and your password. And if I can walk up to a main health machine, I will impersonate you. And whatever you can see, I can see. And that's a danger. Mm-hmm. So please do. It's still in this day and age. Yes, we all have way too many passwords. Absolutely agree. And they are, they're everywhere, right? But we have tried to find the right balance on that.
Yeah.
I think that you will see in the future something that will eventually surpass the password. But at the moment, whether it's, you know, reading your thumbs, facial recognition, like on an iPhone, something, all for those type of things, if we can employ them appropriately and protect our people. But anyway, the choices that users make are just like the choices that we make in the clinical sense. Cyber hygiene is very real. And part of that is just making sure that you do a couple things. Protect the passwords. Have a healthy skepticism around those scam emails. It's okay to be, and I know that goes against the grain for healthcare because we're all about welcoming, bringing people in, right? That's our vibe.
Right.
But in this case, the hackers will try just about anything to get us to jump. And also when you go away, if you're in an area where your screen can be seen and you're working in Epic or something like that, just lock your screen when you walk away. It's very simple to do, but it also protects. So at a nursing station on a floor in the inpatient side or in an exam room, if you can do that, that's also very helpful. So those kind of things, just be mindful of the fact that you're a steward of this patient information and that by protecting it, you're actually protecting the patient. To your further question is we also throw a shield over it. Mm-hmm. We have firewalls, these basically everything that comes through the internet, think of it as going through a strainer. And you wouldn't believe how much actually gets discarded. What that comes through the internet, we probably kick out, you know, 70-80% of all of the stuff that comes at us never makes it inside to Maine Health in the first place, because so much of it is just junk. It's just it doesn't cost hackers or others a penny to go and attack us. So a lot of it gets screened out there. The more sophisticated screening continues. It's defense in depth.
Okay.
And then it's also on your laptops or on your mobile devices. If you have a Maine Health mobile device with the official Outlook and things like that on it. All of those have protections around them in terms of the security software. If they see something that looks wrong, it looks for anomalous, strange behaviors. Like, why is Kelly coming in at 4 a.m. from Thailand, an IP address in Thailand? That's really unusual. Is she vacationing there? Probably not. We need to check that out. So it sort of kicks up alerts and checks on things. So we look for geolocation, yeah. We look for where it's coming from and those sort of things. And we have some fairly sophisticated tools. We pull all that data and then we feed it to a company called ReliaQuest, which is our security operations center vendor. And they have an incredible analysis machine capability, and they analyze it. And then they throw us things and say, you need to look at this. You need to look at that. This looks like someone has, you know, using the wrong credentials or password. This looks like someone's trying to steal passwords. And we chase those all day to make sure that they're either false positives or it's something that we need to do something about.
I mean, it's really quite fascinating and, you know, gives me a high degree of comfort, right? That these things exist for us and all live in the background, right? Like we're all doing our work, doing our job, and that there are systems and teams who are just constantly monitoring and alerting and putting those shields up. So it's a really neat concept. And I'm sure most don't even think about when they're doing their daily work here. You know, as we wrap up, Andy, what do you think is the most important message that you want to share with the CARE team about cybersecurity?
The most important thing is just you have a place in this. Mm-hmm. You are part of protecting our patients' data, the choices that each of us makes every day. And if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
Really holds in cybersecurity. A quick call to the help desk, the service desk now, as they're called, really goes a long way. We will get energized, we will run it down, and we will find out whether it is something to be really concerning and that we need to do something about, or whether it's, you know, just a false positive and it's okay.
Yeah.
And we can answer those questions that way. But the choices that we make from a cyber hygiene perspective really make all the differences. We've seen some terrible ransomware attacks in the last 5 years or so. And I think that's the thing that we do every day is we know that there are folks gunning for us and that we are determined to defend against a disruptive attack like that. It's not the ransomware itself. It's not the money that they're trying to extort from you. It's the disruption to patient care. It's one of our core six values, patient-centered. We have to protect that. And by putting up these shields, by the decisions that each of us makes every day in terms of having that healthy skepticism and protecting our password and reporting things, that goes a long, long way, more than people may think. You may think that your little call to the service desk doesn't matter. It does. It may be the one that actually keeps us from getting smoked through ransomware. Terrible disruption and a real disservice to our patients. We don't want that ever to happen at MaineHealth.
Yeah.
That's what we live for, is to defend.
So. Absolutely. Well said, Andy. I want to thank you again for joining me on this episode of the Working Together with Kelly Elkins podcast. I appreciate you helping us understand the complexities of cybersecurity and how we all play a role in keeping our organization safe from these silent threats that are out there and are very real. A huge thank you to you and your team for everything you do every day to keep us safe.
They're a great team. They really make me just want to put my socks on and come in every morning. It's just, they're a wonderful bunch of folks, very intelligent, very capable, and absolutely dedicated to MaineHealth.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Andy. I hope that you found this episode informative and provides a deeper insight into one of our major areas of focus as we continue to enhance how we work together as MaineHealth to achieve our vision of working together so that our communities are the healthiest in America. Thank you and have a blessed day.